tell you, I've enjoyed that good singing. It's always a blessing to come to God's house and hear the songs of Zion and hear God move on his people through music. Amen. I enjoyed the singing. I always do. And I appreciate God for allowing me to be here to feel what I've been able to feel tonight. If you've got your Bibles, I want you to turn with us over to the book of Exodus, chapter 2. The book of Exodus, chapter 2, and verse 16. Book of Exodus, chapter 2, and verse 16. Before you stand for the reading of God's Word, I want to share just a couple things. We'll get right into the message. Brother Darrell was talking about what Job had went through. And sort of along the thought, I guess, that I had tonight is, what do we have to go through before God gets us where he's trying to get us? I want you to really think about that, because I may mention some more of these in my message. I wasn't here when all these things happened, but I know all these things have happened to different people. I know what Darrell's been through. I know what Brother Mowder went through when the beam fell. You know, when we think about, when we look across this crowd and think, boy, that's one of the best men I know, or boy, she's a good woman. A lot of people's had to go through some things to get them to where they're at. Brother Don had to go through some things with Blake, and the girls have had to live with their grandpa and grandma for a little while there because of circumstance. I think about the four kids that we've took in, and they're having to live with us instead of their mom and dad. And some of the ones that Randy's had to take in, and the things that they've went through. Brother EJ, what you've been through. And then recently, some of you have experienced death and things. And then Megan with Clayton and some of the things she's experienced in the last few years. But, you know, God don't bring these things on us without a purpose of trying to get us where he's getting us to. You know, we like to talk about Moses being that great leader. Moses went through a lot of things before he got to the mountain. And that's what I want to try to talk to you tonight with the Lord's help. I want you to rise to your feet. I'll try not to hold you too long. I'll do my best. It just seemed like the Lord let me see this afternoon. Then Darrell got to testifying there. And it just seemed like it went right along with the thought we had. Just want to read here in verse 16 in chapter 2 of the book of Exodus. The Bible said, "Now the priest of Midian had seven daughters. They came and drew water and filled their troughs to water their father's flock. And the shepherds came and drove them away. But Moses stood up and helped them and watered their flock. When they had come to Reuel, their father, he said, 'How is it that you are come so soon today?' And they said, 'An Egyptian delivered us out of the hand of the shepherds and also drew water enough for us and watered the flock.' And he said unto his daughters, 'Where is he? Why is it that you have left the man? Call him that he may eat bread.' And Moses was content to dwell with the man. And he gave Moses Zipporah, his daughter. And she bare him a son, his name, and he called his name Gershom. And he said, 'I have been a stranger in a strange land.' And it came to pass in process of time that the king of Egypt died, and the children of Israel sighed by reason of the bondage. And they cried, and their cry came up unto God by reason of the bondage. And God heard their groanings. And God remembered his covenant with Abraham and with Isaac and with Jacob. And God looked upon the children of Israel, and God had respect unto them. Now Moses kept the flock of Jethro, his father-in-law, the priest of Midian, and he led the flock to the backside of the desert, and came to the mountain of God, even Horeb. And the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a flame of fire out of the midst of a bush. And he looked, and behold, the bush burned with fire, and the bush was not consumed. And Moses said, 'I will now turn aside and see this great sight, why the bush is not burned.' And when the Lord saw that he turned aside to see, God called unto him out of the midst of the bush and said, 'Moses, Moses.' And he said, 'Here am I.' And he said, 'Draw not nigh hither. Put off thy shoes from off thy feet, for the place whereon thou standest is holy ground. And moreover, he said, 'I am the God of thy father, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob.' And Moses hid his face, for he was afraid to look upon God." I believe that'd be all that we read tonight. You may be seated. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we come to you once again, thanking you, Lord, for this good day, Lord, that you give us. Lord, I thank you, Lord, for these that we've seen come to the altar in the morning service and what we've been able to feel, Lord, this morning and tonight, Lord, through the songs. I thank you, Lord, for every person, Lord, that put forth the effort to come this way. God, I pray, Lord, that you'd help us to be a help to your people. Lord, we know we can do nothing within ourselves, but Lord, certainly, as we mentioned in Sunday school this morning and didn't know this was the direction was going in tonight, sometimes you let us go through things, Lord, to get us to a place in our life where we can see that we're better people than we was before we went through them. And I pray, God, you'd help us to understand that, Lord, that you're sitting up, looking down on the circumstance, Lord, while we're buried underneath it. God, I pray, Lord, that you'd have your will and way, Lord, in all it's said and done. Bless every person that's come this way tonight. Lord, I know you've got a reason. We're gathered together just like this. And Lord, whatever's accomplished, Lord, the remainder of this meeting, we'll thank you. We'll praise you, Lord, for it all. It's in Jesus' name, we do humbly pray. Amen and amen. This scripture starts off in verse 16, where it said, "Now the priest of Midian had seven daughters. They came and drew water and filled their troughs to water their father's flock." I want to get to the point real quick with the Lord's help to bring you up to speed here. We know how Moses' life started out, that Pharaoh was out to kill all the babies, and so his mother put him in a bulrush, if you'd have it, sent him down the river, Brother Andy. And because of that, he was raised up in a rich house. He was raised up in Pharaoh's home. Now, God knew what Moses was going to need in his life to be what God needed to be. But as time went on, Moses had to get to a point where he chose God's people, the Hebrews, over the Egyptians. Amen. He could have stayed in the palace. He might have been one of the next in line to be king, Brother EJ, or maybe he could have held a high position, but yet he chose to stay with the Hebrew children. I believe there's something down on the inside of him that let him know he didn't belong in a palace with the Egyptians. Amen. Let me just say something tonight. I don't know about you, but I don't feel like I belong in this world. Amen. I'm a stranger passing by. This is not my home. I'm a pilgrim in a strange land, headed to a country where I do belong, where I am a citizen, where my father owns it all. Amen. And because I'm saved and God's my father, one day I'll get there. Amen. Amen. I'm on a journey, Brother Andy. Amen. And so was Moses. Amen. We like to talk about when he got up on the mountain, about the burning bush there. It wasn't concerned. But up to this point, Moses chose the children of Israel, the Hebrews, if you'd have it. And because of that, he found himself being sympathetic towards a Hebrew that was being mistreated by an Egyptian. And the Bible said he stood up for him. You know how you'll know if somebody belongs to God's people? They'll stand up for the church. Amen. They'll stand up for one another. I'm not going to let nobody talk about this church. Amen. Or any church. Amen. That's my brother and sister in Christ. Amen. Amen. Boy, I like one of the old songs. The primitive saints, don't talk about the church to me unless you have something good to say. That's my mama you're talking about. And that's where I learned to pray. One of them old fellows with a high voice says, and that's the place where I met the Lord. And the old deep voice says, my family's there, you see. So unless you've got something good to say, don't talk about the church to me. Amen. And Moses stood up for that fella. Amen. I really believe he just meant to break up the fight, and when it was over with, he had killed the fella, buried him under the sand, thought he had it hid, and somebody saw what had happened. Amen. Do you know that everybody, somebody's going to see what we do? Even if they don't, God does. God seen that he had buried him in the sand. And Moses thought he had got away with that. He went about his business the next day. And there was another little quarrel happened. And Moses said something. And you know what the man said? He said, "Are you going to kill me like you did him?" Amen. Oh, he was caught now. Somebody seen it. And so he headed out on a journey to Midian, if you'd have it. He left Egypt. He left his family. Things wasn't going too good for him. He's in a desert. He ain't got nothing to eat, nothing to drink. At this point, he don't know God. He's left his family. Amen. And you can say what you want to, but the hardest people sometimes to realize, amen, they need something that's reached people, has had it all. But I tell you, God has to bring them down to a level where he can help them, amen. You know what the Bible said about Job? That he was a perfect man in his generation, amen. Amen. Do you know Job was a wealthy man? Yes, he was. But I tell you, when God took everything away from Job, Job began to have a conversation with God. And he wanted to know all these things that had happened and what was going on. We find out later in the book, God used all that to get Job's attitude right and humble him and break him down and get him to where God could bless him. Amen. Amen. I told some of them in Sunday school, if you'd have told me 3 years ago I would have went through some same things I was going to go through, I wouldn't have wanted to go through it. Amen. You might not feel this way now, but one day you will. You've got a better preacher today than you did 3 years ago. Amen. You got a preacher that's more content now than I used to be. You got a preacher, and I don't know how this could happen, but I love more than I used to love. Amen. And having material things that don't mean nothing compared to family. Amen. And all that come through losing some things. I'm telling you, it'd be good for some of us to lose some things. Amen. Job had to lose some things. Let's get back to Moses real quick. We know Job, and we know that Moses had lost a lot. He gave up the palaces. He gave up the cucumbers and the melons. He gave up the good food. He gave up the nice clothes. He gave up the nice bed. Now he's just sleeping out in the desert, just trying to find his way. He has a rock for a pillow. Instead of, you know, some of us complain about a hard pillow and a soft pillow. I tell you, go out in the yard and sleep on a rock tonight and see how much you like your pillow. Go camping 1 week. And, oh boy, let me just stop here for just a minute. Ryan went camping with up there with the teenagers and a lot of us older a generation, we don't get to go to all them things. And Ryan told me the other night, he said, "Oh, there's one of them mattresses, Daddy. They're nice." And I said, "What are you talking about?" He said, "That's what me and Nick slept on when we was up there camping." And I said, "You did?" He said, "Yeah, Nick said, I'm sleeping with Ryan." And he said, "You know, I ain't like sleeping me, Daddy. When I get on that mattress, it tightens it up, and he can have a firm mattress." Amen. There ain't nothing wrong with that. Some people like salt. Some people like it to be firm. But I'll just be thankful that we've even got a bed. Amen. Amen. Now Moses give all that up. And on his wanderings one day, he stumbled across 7 girls. Amen. 7 sisters. Amen. I'm sure he thought he died and went to heaven. Amen. I mean, he's come across the desert. He's a single man. And the first things he sees is 7 women. Ain't no way all of them's buried. I believe they was pretty women. I do. I really do most of the time. Let me just share this real quick. You'll find over in the book of the Songs of Solomon, this ain't what I'm preaching on, but I feel like Lord direct me here real quick. You remember that young lady that got Solomon's attention? Amen. She worked in the field. And you know what the Bible said? It said her skin was dark. She is tanned from being in the field. Most of the time when a woman's out in the sun a lot, her hair will get lighter. It's just that way. I can prove it to you. Men's get lighter. And if you got gray hair and you don't want it to get any lighter, you better stay in the house. Amen. The sun will lighten your hair. Amen. But I said all that to say this. He showed up. There's seven ladies there. And guess what was happening? They were some shepherds causing them problems. Amen. Did you know that most of the time when everybody's talking about a shepherd, 99.9% of the time, it's always good? You ever thought about that? Ain't the Lord the good shepherd? David was a shepherd. Abraham was a shepherd. So many shepherds that loved God, sacrificed unto God. But here we got some rotten shepherds. Amen. Well, I could stay here the rest of the night. Amen. Every preacher ain't good. Every pastor ain't good. Everybody that says they love God ain't good. There's some rotten people out there. Wolves in sheep's clothing. Amen. That don't love people, don't love the church, don't love souls. But thank God for Moses, amen. It loved them, amen. And you know what it is? He run off them shepherds, amen. He run them off. I'll tell you what, if you got people around the church that's causing havoc in the church, they need to be run off. Amen. A lot of people don't believe in running people off, but you know what the Bible said? One sinner destroys much good. I believe in working with people. I believe in loving people. I believe in giving people an opportunity and chance. And I'm not going to let one person run a good thing. Amen. There ain't a man in here would let a man come in and ruin yours and your wife's fellowship, yours and your children's fellowship. And I'm going to tell you something, you're my family. These teenagers and these little kids are my children that God has put in my ministry. Amen. And I'm not just going to let anybody come in here and get my pee patch. Praise the Lord that God give me. Amen. We need to protect what is ours. Amen. Moses loved these ladies, he run them men off. Well, he went and got water, Brother Mallory, to feed their flock. He took care of the lake, took care of their deeds there. And you know what happened, Brother Randy? They got back to the house quick. I'd caught that when I read this afternoon. He said, "How'd y'all come back so soon today? Y'all got done pretty quick." It's amazing to me, something I'm going to ask Ryan to do something, or Sean do something, or Shane. And next thing I know, I turn around, they're back in there. So I thought, take Tresha. It's done. So how'd you get that done so quick? It ain't always the answer I like to hear. Well, I set the garbage right on the outside door. I'm going to get it in the morning on the way to the bus. It didn't go all the way to the trash can. They wouldn't have got done so quick. Amen. We all do that. I like them old little tapes that Chick-fil-A used to come out with. And I used to let Ryan listen to things when he's little. And I still remember one called procrastination. A lot of people don't know what that is. It's putting something off and just not getting a job done. Amen. That old fella had a problem with it. He went to see a fella. He had a lot of confidence and was a Christian. And he said, "I've got a problem." He said, "I just get sidetracked and can't get nothing done." And you know what he told him? He said, "Oh, you got a bad case of procrastination." Amen. And he said, "What is that? Amen. What is that? Can you help me?" He said, "Yes, I can help you." He said, "I got something right here behind my desk that'll help you." And he pulled a little can out of some powder. Amen. And he said, "What is that?" And he said, "This helps procrastination." He said, "Come here, let me show you how it works." And he put a little bit in a cup. and he put some water in there and he stirred it up. He said, drink a little bit of this and see if it helps you, see if you feel like doing something. And he drank a little bit. He said, I'm feeling a little better. He said, sit down in that seat right there and drink that glass and do your homework till you get done. Well, he drank that glass and boy, he went through it. He come in there, he said, I got my homework done. It's amazing. I need a can of that stuff. Amen. It helped me to get the job done. Amen. He said, what was it? He said, lemonade. He said, you know how you fix procrastination? He said, you sit down in your seat and you just get the job done. He said, you thought the drink was helping you. It's amazing to me sometimes what gets in people's head when they think something's helping them. And they ain't no better off today than they was last week. But if they think they've got help, they'll get more done. Amen. Well, they got back to the house. I'm about done. I didn't want to make this long. They got back to the house. And he said, how'd y'all get back so quick today? Said, well, there was an Egyptian man. And no doubt the first thing their daddy thought, he's come a long ways. This wasn't by chance my daughters was out there with a flock. And this man just showed up. You remember over there in the book of Ruth, when Boaz, the Bible said that Naomi just happed upon Boaz's land. You know what that word hap means? Just by chance she wound up on his property. She wound up on his property just at the time that he walked out there to look at the property and see how things was going, Brother Matt. And all of a sudden he looked out there and he said, who's that young lady out there in the field? And that's sort of the way I feel about this story. Moses showed up just exactly at the right time. All of a sudden he told him, he said, well, where is he? Go get this man. Bring him back in here. Let him eat with us. Amen. And they went and got him, brought him back in. You know what the Bible said? He stayed with that man. He was pleased to stay with him. I'll tell you, it'd do you good sometime to find somebody that you can be happy with and just stay with them. Amen. I like it when people come to church and stay here. Heard a man years ago, he said, some people's letter stays in a mailbox more than it does in the church. And it does. A lot of people move so quick they can't find anywhere they're happy with. But he stayed there and he found a bride, Zipporah. Jethro gave him his daughter. Well, one day he was out in the land of Midian taking care of Jethro's flock. Brother Mountain, he went back on the back side of the desert. Here he is still in the desert. Now he's on the back side. He's come across the desert. He's left everything behind, his family, the Egyptian goods. He has really nothing except what this man has given him, his daughter and these flock that he's taking care of. And he winds up back there at the mountain of God. And he looks up there and he sees the angel of the Lord comes to him and shows him a bush that's being burned, but it's not being consumed. Now, it's quiet, and I want to get your attention right here. Everything that you've went through your life up until the time you met the Lord, or since then, the things that you're going through right now, there is a place that you're going to wind up one day. That everything you've went through, you're going to need it to be who God needs you to be. Do you believe that? There's people in this church that has been what I've needed you to be in my life, but I see what you've had to go through to become who you are. I've shared this several times, and I'm fixing to let this be our closing remarks, but Billy Chambers, I met him when I was in my 20s, and he was preaching for Brother Russell Jolly over at Rock, and I went over to Revival, and I heard him preach. I still remember what he preached on. That's been probably, she corrected me on some of my dates this afternoon, got me a little bit more in line. We've been married almost 23 years, so I know it wasn't quite that long. So we'll just say 20 years or 19 years, somewhere within the first 4 years of our marriage. And I met Brother Billy Chambers. And I remember the first time I heard him preach, he preached on a covenant between Jonathan and David. God has made a covenant between Jonathan and David. They had a covenant one day. And I still think about that a lot of times, things he brought out in that message. I told him one day, I said, it's been 19 years since I've heard that sermon. It would be good if you preach a revival again, you see me come in, if you could pull that old one out. And I said, I'm sure I don't remember all of it. I'd like to hear that again if God would let you. It was a good message, Brother Mary. And as time went on, I heard him more and more. I heard him because I liked him, and I'd go hear him other places. And I started telling a man, I said, boy, I'd like to preach like him. Boy, I wish I could preach like him. Boy, I really like what he preaches. I like the things he brings out. And I still do. Ain't nothing changed about that. Then one year he called me, preached a revival for him. Shook me up, be honest with you. You might as well said God or Jesus called me on the phone. Said, I need you to preach a revival. And I got off. I was nervous. I think my heart skipped a few beats. And Amanda could tell. She said, what's wrong? I mean, that was how bad it shook me up. She said, what's wrong? I said, I got a revival like that. And she said, you do? Well, that's good. And I said, I don't know if it's going to be good or not. She said, why? What? Who was it? I said, Brother Billy Chambers. And it shook me up. Made me study more, I guess, before that revival than I ever had up to that point. And that's what I'm getting at. That God will put things in your path to get you to realize. And you think you study. Then he'll put something there and he'll make you really get in there and study. He does. And we got close to one another. And he called one year. And he said, hey, I was thinking about you and your wife. And your two little kids. And he said, we're going up to Nashville. We got a little place up there. He said, y'all want to go on vacation with us? I said, yeah, love to go. So we shifted everything around. We went with them. And ever since then, I feel like the Lord has blessed us to get close. I'm bringing all this to a point right here, and then I'm going to be quiet. We got from vacation. We got talking about a lot of stuff. And I was still, at that point in my life, all the time I'd say, boy, I'd like to be like him. I'd like to preach like him. One night was at dinner, and he said, yeah, my son that died. And my heart sank. It about stopped. And I said, your son that died, you had a son that died? He said, yeah, he was 10 years old, had Down syndrome. And he said, he died. And he said, I wasn't saved then. He said, Brother Russell Jolly used to come by all the time. Donald was a member of Brother Russell's church. And he said, I hated to see Russell come. He said, I'd hide and get back in the bedroom, and I seen him pull up in the driveway. And I smiled because, you know, people don't realize you'll go to visit people as a preacher and you love them and they don't want to see you. They don't want to talk to you. They don't want to have nothing to do. And that, every preacher deals with that. But you're it's the same way as fish. Aren't you trying to catch fish and they run and go everywhere? They don't want to be caught. Yeah. Ain't that the truth, Brother Matt? You have to work at it. Anyway, finally, Brother Russell got to Brother Billy. He got saved. Now it's his calling to preach. But from that day, he told me that his little boy died. As far as I know, I've never said I won't preach like him or be like him no more. Because this is what I believe. I believe maybe to get to that point, I might have to lose a child. And I don't want to do that. Now, if God chooses that for my life, really, I can't do nothing about it. And it'd be hard. I don't know how people makes it. When people lose a spouse or children, I don't know how people lose their home when it burns to the ground. You lose everything you got. People's been swindled out of their retirement, their 401k. We've heard it on the news. People took it all, and they're going to retire in 2 years, and now they're working somewhere just barely making enough just to eat and live it in somebody else's house. I don't know how people deals with all that without the Lord, but I said all that to say this. Sometimes we want to be like other people. But I promise you, you're not going to want to go through what they went through to get there. Everybody in here, I believe, knows Tracy Hall. Brother Nick, come get a verse of song. Get ready to sing a song. I've always thought a lot of Sister Tracy, and I still do, her and Brother Sammy. And I've always felt like she was one of the closest. I don't say the closest, but one. There's a lot of ladies in my life I look at, and I feel like they're really close to the Lord. And she is one of them. I felt like she's really close to the Lord. And I told somebody that one day, I said, boy, it just seemed like she's really close to the Lord. And they said, she is. And they said, but I remember years ago, we was in a service, and she stood up, and she got testifying. Brother Darrell said he must have been there. I wasn't there. Somebody told me about this, Brother Mallory. And they said she stood up, just squalling, just crying. She said, I just want to get so close to the Lord. I want him to trap me in the fire and get me where he needs me to be. Well, you see what she's had to go through. Her son needed a transplant. And a lot of things she's had to endure through life to get where she's at, to be a good pastor's wife. You don't know what you're going to go through in this life. But I can assure you this much, whatever it is you're going through, it has to come through God's permission before it gets to you. And He's doing it for your good, even when we can't see it. He's doing it for our good. Did you hear me say our good? Amen. Not just your good, our good. It's for all of us. And He knows what He's doing. I want us to rise to our feet tonight.